All right, if you would turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, we're going to be focusing on verses 27 through 36. 2 weeks ago, I began this series of messages on I wish Jesus hadn't said that. If you remember from 2 weeks ago, it was the first one was to deny yourself and take up your cross. Again, if you are interested in a book, these are free for your taking, and there's some up here on the front pew. Highly recommend the book. Very challenging book. I'm amazed that some of you didn't get angry with me, and you actually came back from 2 weeks ago. You had actually 2 weeks to determine whether or not you're coming back, and you said, yes, I'll come back. May not after tonight. No, I'm just kidding. We understand that when we look at our lives, our walks with Jesus Christ, that many times what the Bible tells us in how we should act, what we should do, we would say that it's very tough. And even to the point where we might even throw up our hands and, God, there's no way I can do this. And I think many times when we're to that point, that's exactly where God wants us, because we acknowledge that in our own strength that we're not able to do this. And God says, I can do it through you. Tonight is one of those passages of Scripture that if you would probably recall someone in your life that you would say, you might not say that you hate them, but you might consider them an enemy, maybe because of what they said or what they did, or maybe what they didn't do. Okay, fair enough. But the Scripture tells us that we are to love our enemies. I want to read this tonight out of the Message, and then we'll walk through this. It says, to you who are ready for the truth, I say this, love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with the energies of prayer for that person. If someone slaps you in the face, stand there and take it. If someone grabs your shirt, gift wrap your best coat and make a present of it. If someone takes unfair advantage of you, use the occasion to practice the servant life. No more tit-for-tat stuff. Live generously. Here is a simple rule of thumb for behavior. Ask yourself what you want people to do for you. Ask yourself what you want people to do for you. Then grab the initiative and do it for them. If you only love the lovable, do you expect a pat on the back? Run-of-the-mill sinners do that. If you only help those who help you, do you expect a medal? Garden variety sinners do that. If you only give for what you hope to get out of it, do you think that's charity? The stingiest of pawnbrokers does that. I tell you, love your enemies. Help and give without expecting a return. You'll never, I promise, never regret it. Live out this God-created identity the way our Father lives toward us, generously and graciously. Even when we're at our worst, our Father is kind. You be kind. All right, that's out of the Message. I like the way the Message reads there. Again, I recommend it for devotional reading, not necessarily for study, just because sometimes he puts it a little more in modern terms, in layman's terms. Let me ask a question. This is maybe for a little bit of feedback. Can y'all give some feedback tonight? Maybe a little bit. What do we normally want to do to our enemies? Okay, get even, all right? What's that? Oh, she can't tell you. That's fair. No, that's fair. Usually that is what we want, right? Retaliation. Leave them alone, all right? Very good. Just totally avoid them. That's fair. We think that's, that may be the right thing to do. I mean, at times. We think that. What else? Okay, see them fail. Oh, yeah. That's me. All right, that's me. All right, I'm. This is confession time. That's me. When something happens to me, I pray, God, help them to understand how they're wrong. And then let them fail, too, so that I might revel in their failure. I mean, that's me. But, you know, I can't be that way. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christ follower. But yeah, that is me, more so than anything else, I think. I wrestle with that. Because, I mean, even you look at the Psalms. The psalmist, many times, you look at what Psalm 73, and you see how the psalmist wrestled with the fact that people were doing evil and yet their lives looked okay. David wrestled with that many times, right? Because he felt like he was in the right. And God, look at what my enemies are doing to me. I talk with people at times and they say, well, we can't express emotions like anger to God. That's not right. And I say, well, have you ever read the Psalms? Because there's anger there. I'm not saying it's right. But if we, God knows, doesn't He? He already knows if we're angry. We might as well express it to Him so that He can say, okay, now that you've got that out, let's deal with it. And many times, when it comes to our enemies, and they do something or say something that harms us, we have that desire for retaliation, the desire that they get theirs. And we kind of hold that inside. I think sometimes we just need to get that out to God. God, this is just really the way I feel, but I know Your Word tells me that I must love my enemies, and I don't know how to do that right now. Could You please help me? And God, I think God says, I can work with that. But you denying it all the time, I can't work with that because you don't see that there's a problem there. We want maybe at times to sit and gloat about God judging them or punishing them or whatever. We can. I put my notes back there on the table. I don't know if you saw them when came in, but it says we can enjoy the warm satisfaction of knowing they finally got what they deserved. We can just sit back and sip some coffee and say, finally. Well, who are our enemies? It's interesting in this passage of Scripture. Let me read out of the Holman here in verses 27 and 28. Jesus is saying, but I say to you who listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. It's interesting that Jesus doesn't even say why they view us as their enemies. He's not even saying that we have done something to create enemies. Correct? He just says, love your enemies. These are individuals, for whatever reason, they view you as an enemy. He doesn't say it's because we have done something we shouldn't have done, or even not done something that we should have done. He simply identifies them by their attitude toward us. But He also says what our response. It should be shaped by the attitudes and actions directed toward us by those who hate us, but not in a like-for-like sense. And that's why I like the message. No more tit-for-tat stuff. Well, you do that to me, and I'm going to do that to you. What does that create? Does that create an environment of reconciliation? Does that create an environment of peace? In our relationships with people, you know, we're called in Scripture to love God and love people, right? I mean, that's when we sum it up. All the commandments are summed up in those two things: love God, love people. And so what we understand from Scripture is that relationships are important to God. We talked tonight, we began a new series upstairs, a new study with the students called Believe. And our first thing we talked about was, who is God? And we talked about how God exists as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And therefore, we have this idea that God exists within a community. There's relationship there, and it's a perfect relationship. God exists in perfect community with Himself. All right? And then He created mankind, and He calls us to live in community, not only with Him, but with one another. And so we should take the example that God, the community of God, as our example in working with one another in our responses. Not a tit-for-tat type thing, but God is calling for us to do something totally radical, totally other than the world. The world would say, yes, that's exactly how you should respond. You should inflict as much pain as was inflicted on you. Maybe you should inflict even more pain because you want people to understand that you can't do that again to me. Right? We got to stand our ground. And I'm not saying that we should be a doormat, right? The Scripture does not communicate that we are to be a doormat for people to walk on. But what Scripture tells us here is that we are to exhibit a radical love to those who inflict harm on us. And when we do that, we have to think about what that communicates to that person. Our primary response to those who see themselves as our enemy is to do good to them, to bless them, to pray for them. Left to our own devices, we will resent anyone who wounds or accuses us. Jesus is telling us to do good to them. He says we must not just endure our enemies. Listen to this. But actively seek to bless them. To actively seek to bless them. We must not just tolerate those who would hurt us, but we're to pray for their good. How hard is it to pray for someone that has done something harmful to you? Is it an easy thing? All right. Let me come back, because it may be an easy thing to pray, God, give them what they deserve. All right. But is it an easy thing to say, God, bless them? God, pour upon them the same grace that you pour upon my life. What does Scripture tell us about the kindness of God? What does it lead to? Repentance. Maybe in our praying for someone who has inflicted harm for us, in our praying that God would bless them, would overflow His goodness upon their lives, that in that process they might repent. Kathy, you have your hand up.
Yeah, I've got a question.
Yes. Okay. All right. 1 second. Would we agree that that's an enemy tonight? We're having practical application. Have y'all noticed? All right. Okay. Are we a community of believers? Yes, okay. All right. All right, okay. Continue. Okay, all right. So does anybody want to speak toward that? I'm going to give somebody an opportunity.
That's part of the tough love.
All right, that's part of tough love, okay.
There's consequences.
There's consequences, okay.
That's the reason God established governments to combat evil.
Okay, so that's the reason why God established government to deal with those who do evil things. Okay. Okay. Well, anybody else? I don't want to just do all the talking. We're kind of doing Sunday nights a little bit different, all right? Is that okay? Because, again, as I said, we're a community of believers. This is kind of a, we can ask questions. It's okay. Let's deal with some things. This is good. I'm excited right now, honestly. What's that? What is the answer? We're not to be doormats. Exactly. Okay, all right. Now, I would say the difference in this situation is you didn't actively seek to bless them. They took it upon themselves to bless themselves through what you had. Does that make sense?
Okay.
And because of that, and just because of the legalities of what is happening, I think this is a different case. No, I don't think you transgressed. No, I do not. You still can be praying for that person. Yes. Yes. Yes, actions do have consequences. Continue to pray for them and continue to find opportunities to show them God's love. But there are legalities, as we talked about. There's a governmental system in place. We do wrestle with that, don't we, though? Because we hear stories. In my readings, I come across how individuals in the midst of just circumstances that I couldn't even possibly imagine that I would find myself in, such as I read recently about a lady who... During World War II, her family was taken by Nazis. And this man who was responsible for taking not only her husband, but her only son, and killed them. He was finally brought to trial, and she was brought in as a witness, and she was asked what she desired in the situation. All right. And in a moment of grace and forgiveness, and an incredible moment of grace and forgiveness, she said, "I would like for him to come once a week to my house so that I can be a mother to him." Wow. I mean, wow. Yes. Yes. Isn't that crazy? I mean, we hear those stories, and so we wrestle with that idea that there should be consequences for people's actions, correct? And then the whole legality of we can't be a doormat either. There's a balance. Yes, exactly. Yes, or an enabler, yes. Yes, that's true. This is good discussion. You weren't planning for this tonight, right? All right, good question, Kathy. That is very possible. And sometimes we are considered enemies not because we did something to inflict harm on them, but merely because we are Christians and because we bear the name of Jesus Christ. Because Christ himself said that if they treat me like this, how do you think they will treat you? So what do we want from others? We want people to be interested in our good and concerned about our happiness. We want others to please and serve us, care about us always, help us whenever, and want the best for us in any and every situation. This is how Jesus calls us to treat others, especially when they misuse or abuse us. In every situation, our response to them should be defined by their good, not our own. That's the golden rule, isn't it? Let's read. If anyone hits you on the cheek, offer the other also. If anyone takes away your coat, don't hold back your shirt either. Give to everyone who asks from you, and from one who takes away from you your things, don't ask for them back. Just as you want others to do for you, do the same for them. To do others good is to do that which will most benefit them, reflect God's character, and imitate His actions. I think that's when we're talking about doing others good, that which will most benefit them, that will reflect the character of God, and imitate His actions. And here, note, this is not mere acquiescence or compliance. He says here, the radical enemy love is a call to actively engage in behavior that will challenge what people have done because it asks fundamental questions about life and human identity. By slapping you, people are trying to demean you and dismiss you. By offering the other cheek, you're not just giving in to the physical violence of a bully, you are showing indifference to the insult. You're saying, do your best. Because as Christ followers, where's our identity? It's in Jesus Christ, right? I mean, Paul talks about it. In Colossians chapter 3, what is it, verse 2, that your life is hidden in Christ. And so now our identity is in Christ. And let me ask you, if someone insults you, does it really affect you now that you're in Christ Jesus? It shouldn't. Because my identity is so wrapped up in Christ, it doesn't matter what anyone has to say about me. It doesn't matter what anyone does to me. Does that make sense? They can toss me out the window and I can die. Praise be to God. All right? And the reason why I say that is because Paul says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. You're just ushering into the presence of God. Stay here on earth. Presence of God in heaven. Which do I want? More. I don't know. It's a different attitude, isn't it? That we must take. It doesn't matter what people say about us, or it shouldn't matter. And this is what Jesus is saying here. They slap you on the cheek, try to demean you. Give them the other, because it really doesn't matter. By letting someone take your tunic as well as your cloak, you're not being a wimp. You're showing outrageous generosity. By not demanding back what has been taken, you're not simply lying down and playing dead. You're showing that life is not defined by what you have. This is different, isn't it? According to Jesus, none of these individuals is our enemy. We have no need to defend our name, demand restitution, or speak critically and demeaningly of others. We are called to love and bless each and every one of them. That's hard, isn't it? My goodness gracious. Because we are so geared to retaliate and to want recompense. Right? But that's not what Jesus is calling for right here. Why should this be our response? 32 and 30 through 36. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. If you do what is good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those who from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do what is good, and lend expecting nothing in return. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For He is gracious to the ungrateful and evil. Be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. In this call to love our enemies, Jesus is calling us to be as He was and to live the life He lived. He is calling us to be human as He was human. I mean, do we believe that Jesus was fully man? Had that dual nature, mankind and deity. And that although we cannot grasp that fully, that's what Scripture reveals. And so He's calling us to be human as Jesus was human. Not loving our enemies and not seeking their good is disobedience, basically. Right? I mean, if we're honest, we look at what it says. But it is so much more than that. It is being less than God made us to be. It's being less than God made us to be. If Jesus is our definition of true humanity, then not loving our enemies is being subhuman. If we don't behave in this way, we are acting as though Jesus never existed. Wow, that's harsh, isn't it? That's harsh. But is it the truth? I think so. Now, let's stop for a moment because I'm feeling a little beat up. Okay, you probably are too. Is there grace in all of this? Yes. When we get it wrong, is there grace? Yes. Is this hard? Yes. But if we couldn't do it, don't you think God would have said something different? If it wasn't possible. Yes, it is. Because if we truly believe what the Bible tells us about the indwelling of His Holy Spirit, this morning in the Explore the Bible series, your 1 Peter, right? 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 25. And verse 23, it says that we weren't redeemed by a perishable seed, but an imperishable seed. That imperishable seed that was planted inside of our hearts, that is bursting forth with fruit in our lives. That's what we're talking about here. That's the reason why it's possible, because the Holy Spirit is doing a work of transformation. And yes, exactly. And that's hard, but it's possible. We've got to believe this. As Christ followers, we've got to believe this. We've got to proclaim it, because the world needs to know that there is a different way of living. Jesus intends for His people to be beautifully distinct in a world where hating those who hate you is not only acceptable, but also expected. It's so easy for us to get intimidated by the commands and requirements we find in the Bible and overwhelmed by the weight of them, in danger of being crushed by their expectations. But remember this, neither Jesus nor anyone else in the Bible is asking us to do what we cannot do. They are always encouraging us to be who we are. And what are we? We are children of the Most High God. We have been grafted into the family of God. We have been adopted, and His very nature has been placed inside of us through the Holy Spirit. The call to obedience is not so much to imitate Christ as to enjoy being in Christ. It is because we are united to Christ the Son that we are children of God, and it is as children of our Father that we are to be merciful. There's a Christian hip-hop artist. His name is... It's a group. And they call themselves Beautiful Eulogy. And one of their songs on their self-titled album, Beautiful Eulogy, and y'all don't really care about all this. I'm just trying to explain where this is coming from, okay? The song itself is called Blessed Are the Merciful. And it's a snippet of an individual sermon that he's talking about being merciful. Blessed are the merciful, right? For they shall receive mercy. That's one of the Beatitudes. And he talks about how merciful God is and how he was. And how when Jesus was here, he displayed the mercy of God. And how he was with tax collectors and prostitutes. And how he threw them in the sphere of his love because of his mercy. And we ourselves have experienced that mercy. And his question in that song was, if you have experienced, how can you not, if you've experienced the mercy of God, how can you not display it? And that's a great question, right? We're talking about being merciful to people. Because God was merciful to me. You know, maybe... You know, I'm connecting some things here in my mind, and your mind probably doesn't work like this, but it's where my mind's going right now, and it's not on your notes. When Jesus talked about the Pharisee and the publican, when they went into, and the Pharisee, oh God, thank you that I'm not like, well, even this man right here. And the publican, the tax collector was, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Maybe if we took that attitude more each day, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, it would be easier for us to display mercy to those around us. Because we understand that the same mercy that God gives us, he extends to them. And just maybe, he wants us to be a conduit of that mercy in that person's life. Maybe, so that they might see him. Loving our enemies Jesus' way makes us a radically and starkly different kind of people, not only in our outward actions, but also in the values those actions express. It means that we are a people for whom status, reputation, possessions, and rights have no hold, and that we have been changed to the very core of our being rather than merely modified at the margins of our existence. It means that we realize that it is only Jesus who gives true satisfaction. We can risk everything because we already have everything in Him. I said the right thing, didn't I? Was that the signal? I'm just kidding. So how are we to do this? First, we are lived for the age to come. Our reward, if we do this, our reward will be great. We are to live in the light of our reward to come, eternity with our Lord, who will be honored and adored for his glorious grace, which was sufficient to transform sinners like us into true humans after the image of his Son. And then second, we are to respond with act of mercy to the act of mercy we have already received. The call of Jesus is to live that life of fresh, active mercy now. Because as we, when lost in the mire of our selfishness, cruelty, and rebellion, received His mercy, we are to extend mercy to those who don't deserve it. Yeah. We don't, do we? Sometimes I forget where I was before I met Jesus. And what it took for me to come to Him. Remind yourself and others of who Christ is. and what He has done for you. Massage the message of the cross into your heart at every opportunity and celebrate what God has done for us in Christ. Being conscious of His mercy will dispose us to being merciful. We love our enemies because it was while we were still sinners. Isn't that what it says in Romans 5:8? Christ died for us. As we show mercy to others, we reflect the mercy of our Father, which has been lavished upon us. Love your enemies. Man, I wish Jesus hadn't said that. But in reality, I'm kind of glad. Because in saying that, He's telling me there's a totally different way to live. And it's His way. It's His way. I mean, don't we all want to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant"? And Paul talks about that in 2 Timothy chapter 4 when he's nearing the end of his life. And he says, "I've fought the good fight." Remember that passage of Scripture? The Message says, he paraphrases that. He says, "All that's left for me is the shouting in the end. To hear God say, 'Well done. Well done.'" This week, may we find ourselves with opportunities to share the love of God with those who might inflict harm on us. May we share the same mercy that was extended toward us. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word. And even though it is very hard, and we acknowledge that in our own strength, this what we talked about tonight is impossible, we also understand that Your word tells us, through the working of Your Holy Spirit in our lives, that it is possible. We're reminded that Jesus stated that with men it's impossible, with God all things are possible. God, we want to live every day in the truth of the possibility. And we can only do that. We can only do that if we wake up each day with the cross in view, reminding ourselves that Christ died there so that we might live a different life. Yes, that we would be forgiven and that we would be able to spend eternity with You in heaven, but also that while we are still here on earth, that we would live a beautifully distinct life from the world. And a part of that is loving our enemies and showing mercy to people. God, tonight we ask very humbly, help us. God, give us opportunities this week to show mercy, to express Your grace and Your love to someone. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.